Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
I suppose it could have been worse than it showed up on the futures market, given the fact that the world appears awash in wheat, but then again, the trade pretty much knew that.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to describe today's market right now. Now the question becomes, do, in my mind anyway, do the beans lead the corn and the wheat down to their old lows? And I think in March we've already done that. Our old low from 11.25 was 5.86. We've gone down to 5.86 and a quarter today for the January beans. That same day low was 11.02 and three quarters. We've gotten down to 11.05 and three quarters. And so the report would naturally make you think, because of the big increase in stocks, the fact that many of the global numbers were above trade estimates, that you would need to test those lows, Dave. But I think that's where it goes back to. I think the psychology of the market would suggest, and the contacts in Chicago told me before the opening, it would suggest that if those old lows hold, then the trade's probably dialed those numbers in, and therefore maybe the selling abates, and we actually see some short covering before the close. And I think that's what the closet bulls want, and I think that's what they're going to be watching for, and very little buying will probably, and meaningful buying will probably come in before we see that.
Are you going to need to see confirmation of all we just spoke about to confirm these lows in place early next week?
I do think that. I mean, I'm more of a seasonal person from a standpoint of the calendar, the flipping of the calendar, and the fact that the closer we get to the end of the year, the more I'll feel better about trying to look at re-ownership or saying the undervalue levels should hold here. The global ending stocks are at a point where demand is drawing them down. Demand is returning. And quite frankly, coming back from that trip in France, I found that to be the case. I mean, if anything, the French traders that I spoke with at the commercial grain operative that I did the meeting with after the conference, when I went back to their offices, they were remarkably similar to what we talked about here in the United States this past 3 months. Where are the USDA corn stocks that they dropped out of the feed and residual? And they made a specific comment that their corn feeding demand domestically is almost as red hot as ours is here in the States. And so they see demand like I see demand, that it is there, but it's domestic demand. And the export demand continues to find a problem, and we saw that in today's report. But that's because, to me, it's more of a psychological problem, that what's going to happen to the deflationary market, what's going to happen if we go into the deflationary market and global demand slows down and we're more like Japan as a world for the next 3 to 5 years. Why, as an exporter, would I want to buy that much excess grain and store it in a bin if I'm buying it too high, if I'm going to have to pay more to store it if the price drops, and also if that demand may not show up that I'm buying that grain for? So I think it really boils down to that. And when you look at it from that perspective, it does blend really nicely with the idea that end users around the world for exports are a lot like fund investors right now. They're just, I think, waiting.
Is there anything next week that would, on the charts, that would point you to say, yes, we are indeed into a seasonal pattern rallying into the end of the year? Or are we going to go counter-seasonal and with another leg down and $6 sort of being a measuring gap?
Yeah, I think it goes back to those lows we talked about at the beginning of the conversation. If we find the bottom on good volume, I think that really says a lot. My biggest concern continues to be the currencies, especially with the EU information out this morning. The currency markets haven't dealt with that very well. The dollar hasn't shot lower. The euro is still below 135. And it's interesting because when you look at the top on beans, and this is where beans can become the leader to the downside, not just because of today's report, but also because of what happens when the outside markets fail and the copper goes down. And this is where the Hang Seng Index closed down almost 3% in the morning trade after the EU information came out. That didn't make me feel very good because I'm worried about copper and I'm worried about the Brazilian real causing the beans to once again be the leader to the downside. So for me, in terms of an expected low, I really need the charts to hold here. I need to see good volume after those lows hold. And most of all, I want to see the copper and the dollar react positively for commodities and then see the Chinese stock market come back. And then that global deflation mindset and that Asian demand mindset, that lowering demand mindset in Asia, I think will abate, and end users and funds together will say, okay, we're close to 2012, let's step back in.
One of the questions going into this report was that world livestock production certainly on the upswing, and yet corn demand and corn use worldwide not so much. And lots of people are making a lot of usage of DDGs, of which we know very little because there's no tracking really, and feed wheat coming into play. How much did this report go towards solving those questions surrounding corn and livestock?
From what I've seen, none at all, Dave. I think that's where it goes back to. I don't think most of the traders that I've spoken with or analysts that I've spoken with expected much out of today. Maybe we'll get more on the quarterly grain stocks, but it's probably going to be the January final numbers that most of us are expecting, that the books have to be squared somehow. Either the feed wheat's going to go up and we lose that corn feed and residual, or the DDGs are a special report is devised for the DDGs to explain the feed and residual, or the corn feed and residual is bumped up. I think the other thing that has to be said is the first thing I looked at on Tuesday morning in Paris was what did the Ohio corn harvest look like, and it was only 80%. It went from 76% the prior week to 80%. They essentially got nothing done. That ends up being about 100 million bushels still left in the fields. And so even though today's number is 848, and you know we're right at that 850 level, 100 million bushels becomes a very important number. If you add that to the 100 to 200, some even think as upwards of 250 million bushels of lost corn feed that still needs to be explained. If you add those two numbers together, you're talking about getting yourself right back down to the 500-600 million bushel level. And then you have to start talking about, can we really get those 93-plus million new crop acres when we're seeing other estimates come out that U.S. acres for 2012 were extremely historically high because of the drought in the southern plains? I think these things have to be answered still, but the focus of that, the light of that, won't be shown on it until we get over this EU currency hump, I think.
So my takeaway is that the numbers are neutral to slightly bearish in the short term for corn, but longer term it has a brighter story.
Exactly. Cash corn in the bin looks solid, and I think today's numbers suggest that because exports weren't reduced, but that doesn't mean you don't keep your March puts in place, especially the next 2 to 3 weeks. I get a lot more friendly or a lot more bottom-picking mindset as I get closer to the end of the year.
Do I need puts in soybeans?
Yes, I think today's close will dictate that. If you take out that 1102 and three quarters levels in January beans, I think you'd need some protection, again, because of the outside markets. And let's face it, I don't think anybody's arguing the 230 million bushel carryover in the beans. So that's where you can argue the corn carryover, but beans, you can't argue that carryover level. So puts in beans make sense to me as well, especially if Brazil does dry out. I sure don't want to be selling cash beans here if we're right around the corner of a weather market in January with Brazil and South America.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Take care, sir.